As a special treat today, a bonus episode, previously unreleased from our Sped Talk archives, and you get to hear the voice of Pam.
Welcome to Sped Talk, where everything's bigger and brighter, especially our passion for special education. As always, a warm welcome to our listeners.
We are your statewide special education liaison team, here to elevate the conversation one story at a time.
Our mission? Not just to share, but to connect. Representing the special education community across our state, we're here to say,
Texas may be big, but its heart and stories are even bigger. Join us on this journey together. Let's celebrate.
So today on Sped Talk, we have Dr. Bentley Parker with Garland ISD, and he's going to share with us their project search programs and what they're doing with the 18 plus programs in Garland. So Dr. Parker, I'm just gonna let you start talking, then we'll start asking questions.
Thank you for having us today and having me represent our wonderful district. We are very blessed in Garland ISD to have a wide variety of transition programs for students that begin at each one of our high schools, and we have small pieces of programmatic work that happens there, including going out into the community for work opportunities on a regular basis for our high school students. And then we also have the opportunity here to have several programs for transition for students that are what we call 12 plus. And I think most people in Texas would use that term. Students that have met all their graduation criteria and just need a little something. So we really have three different programs that we modeled for those students. And they are based on the level of need that the student has as they're trying to become employed or employable for some. You know, they're just not quite there yet. So our first level for students is what we call train. And it is for students that they're not quite ready to get out for employment yet, but they're getting really close. They just need a few skills. And those kids work with a teacher and job coaches to get into the community and have a variety of job experiences. And then we have Max's program, and it's been a little interesting. It's meeting and catering services. They typically work in our main building, but for this last year, our main building in Garland has been closed due to construction. So they've been working this year and the end of last year at a high school working with food service in prepping food and serving food and doing all those things. So that's really focused on meeting and catering when we're in our main office. They do all the setup and prep work for all the meetings that happen in that building. And they also feed lunch for staff in that building that they can purchase. And they do all kinds of snacks, and they have a cart that they take around and sell things. So that's really focused on meeting and catering. And then we have Project Search. And we've been in Project Search now at our initial site. I believe this is our 10th year that we've been doing Project Search. And Project Search is the upper level. Those interns, they're no longer called students when they're involved in Project Search. Those interns really are going to be employed sooner than later. They make the commitment to employment when they agree to come to Project Search. It is Garland ISD together with Texas Workforce Commission, and We also have a local employment company that Texas Workforce brings in. So, and then of course the company, and it is company based. So the company is the lead and we're all support to make the project search happen for students. The goal is, of course, 100% employment for all students within 9 months of them finishing their high school career. We have been blessed that regularly at both of our sites over the years, this is our 8th year to have 2 sites. And we have consistently been over 80 and most years over 90% in employability of our students. Those students are working in an integrated setting at a facility. And right now in Garland, we're working with 2 places. Epiroc is the business that we've been with the longest. And we are also working with the city of Garland and have several places that our students are able to gain experience there. The goal of Project Search is to make sure that the interns become employed in a typical and receive a typical wage for the job that they are working in when they become employed. They're hopefully going to work full-time, but a minimum of 16 hours per week. Texas Workforce, of course, works with those interns and their families to make sure that financial priorities for the family are taken care of. It's been a great program for us.
Well, I tell you, we were fortunate to get to go see some of that in September. And we, hosted the liaison group here in Richardson and in Region 10. And all of the liaisons that got to go out and sort of witness those sites just really had great things to say. And that really was the impetus for us saying we should really try to have a conversation with Dr. Parker about those programs. I know personally, I went to Epiroc and got to witness some of that. Some of the other liaisons here went to some other locations, but I'd love for you to maybe take a second to talk about when you formed that partnership with some of those locations through Project Search. How does that come about? How does that work? How does that begin to be a partnership where the interns can go receive that training?
So we worked with the Chamber of Commerce, put together a vision of what we wanted. So also Project Search, the company, the organization has some standards that they look for in the size of the company, the possibility that the company might be able to employ some of the interns along the way. And so when we first started many years ago now, putting together that vision, we wrote it in such a way, and we took that idea and presented it to the Chamber of Commerce here in Garland. And then we met with several different companies talking about, could we partner together? And I think Epiroc really chose us and took off with it. It was an amazing, amazing partnership that we've had it from the very beginning.
Because I visit Epiroc as well. And being familiar with Project Search, typically what I've seen is more like in a hospital setting or a hotel setting. And so this was the first time seeing it at the manufacturer level and seeing what the young people were doing or the interns were doing. It was quite impressive. Because I had heard years ago that Garland had a manufacturing site for Project Search. And I was like, wow, which is wonderful because there's a lot of jobs in manufacturing and they're good paying jobs. So not saying there's not good paying jobs in hospital, but just a different type of work.
You know, watching those little, I say the little ones, but the students that were the interns, as Dr. Parker said it, watching those interns do their job at Epiroc was just incredible. I mean, because they were actually doing the job, whether it was sweeping, whether it was working with wiring, whether it was working on sorting, you know, parts and delivering parts. I think we saw some actually, I remember there was this one student that was ID tagging the equipment that was getting ready to be sent out, and they were doing it, and they were doing it pretty much independently. I mean, you know, yes, there were a couple of people there that were standing by and watching and just making sure that it was getting done correctly, but just to see them independently taking on their responsibility and moving forward with it and doing the job and doing it well, and then being around all of that equipment, you know, when you're talking about the engine sizes that they're working with and the equipment that they're working with. And this is no small factory either. This is no small company. It's massive. And so just to see them there doing the things that they were doing was pretty incredible. But I would like to ask them, because the three of us did go to Epiroc, so we have a good understanding of what they were doing there. What exactly are some of the jobs, some of the skills, some of the training that they do with the city of Garland?
So it, again, is varied, as you know, you're trying to make sure that the desire of the intern is met and you're giving them the skills that they want to meet their long-term goals. The two that pop into my head immediately are that the pet center, and they're working. Garland has a brand new intern there for a long time, but the one that was just finished his first rotation was learning all kinds of things. And just like at Epiroc, the city of Garland is giving these kids the opportunity to become self-sufficient. And they were teaching that intern the skills needed that student wants to, in long term, work with animals. So what a better place for that student to be. So, you know, they're learning skills. They have a rotation at fire. They've had a rotation at human resources. They've had rotations in parks, recreation, a wide variety of different possibilities to learn skills for jobs at the city of Garland as well. Don't want to leave them out for sure.
Now, do the school district provide transportation, or do the interns, are the interns responsible for their transportation?
Great question. So no, the school district does not provide transportation, because, you know, we have 1 year to go. And so we're trying to make sure that these students had the ability to get themselves to a job. And so in working with conjunction with TWC and our local employment service, they either travel train them to ride the bus, or they work with them to make sure that they're set up to get independent travel through DART. We're blessed to have DART in our county. So there are some students that don't live in the DART area that they have to learn how to make sure that they have a parent or whoever it is that's ready, that they may be paying even for them to take them to work every day. So it is not a district obligation. As a matter of fact, it is set up so that it is not, so that we're making sure that these interns are ready to step right into being employed and have the skills again to make sure their transportation is set up.
Now, you also mentioned you have two other programs, the meeting and conference, and I don't remember the first one. So the
first level training.
So they start on the high school campuses.
Time out in whatever their local community is based on their school, and giving them some employability skills there.
I think I know the answer, but I want clarification, because you said the three programs, the first level that are not quite ready but just need a few skills that, you know, not ready for employability, but need a few skills before they get to that point. And then, of course, the MAX program and Project Search. So do students go through all three of these, or it's based on need as to whether they, so a student can get, once they've met the requirements, they can go straight into Project Search and not do the first level or the MAX program. Is that correct?
It is correct. No, we're trying to hit kids, meet students, hit kids. We're not trying to hit kids.
Good to know.
We're trying to meet students where they are, you know, so that wherever their need is, that's where we're going to come alongside them to partner with them to get them to the next level. So no, you know, some kids may just go to train, or they get to meeting and catering services, MAX, and that's what they want to do. And so they get their food service card there, and they're learning the skill that they need, and they move straight away into a job. The first one that I mentioned was called train. It's transition related activities for individual needs. It's where we're exposing them in a more available basis to public transportation, or to how to travel train in a safe way if they're walking between businesses in the downtown area, or they have a part of train that we call unique creations, where they are creating cards or plaques, or there's a variety of things that are available for sale that they make. And then they have an online store, and they also go to schools and sell to people. So then they start having to work on their communication as far as business is concerned, so that they can answer questions for teachers when they have those questions about what is this, or what does this cost, or, you know, how did you make this? Or they make the pads for teachers that are personalized, you know, and they can make them with all kinds of different designs on them. They do etching in glasses, just all kinds of things. And so they're learning how to begin to get those skills. And then if they may blossom there and not need to go on to a different program, go straight away to employment. But they may then go, oh, you know what? I want to go into meeting and catering. So they could move to the MAX program. Or it's not a terminal place like Project Search is supposed to be. A, you know, when it's over, it's over.
So these items that you're talking about that they sell to the staff, they sell for the communication skills, is that something that's open to the community, open to the public, that they can, so you said there was an online store, so anyone can go to the online store and purchase something. Okay. The MAX program also, you mentioned that they do a lot of the meetings and the catering. Is that just, again, locally for the school, or do they cater events for the community as well?
So their catering is just in the building right now that they are okay. In. Well, we're not doing it at all this year because we have not, okay. our offices for GISD are under construction. I think it's over and we're about to move back in, but they have been looking into a way to widen that. But they do make cakes. They've made some pretty elaborate wedding cakes and sold them to the public. They make retirement, but their catering that they do for the most part is within the building for GISD at this time. Okay. But they do, let me add, for our schools, they do make cookies and cakes and send them to schools. They get some orders from schools, and, you know, if Region 10 wanted to have them cater stuff, they would do that. They have actually catered at Region 10 for meetings in the past, and they have the ability for sure to do that.
So a lot of opportunities for students.
I know that they had mentioned for Project Search, there is an application process for students. in order to be able to qualify for that particular program. For the other two, the TRAIN program and the MAX program, is that the same process that students follow as far as applying for it, or how does that work?
Yes, we have an application process that we use for all of them. And so it is not as rigorous, of course, to get into one of the others as it is to get into TRAIN, because it is, you know, a terminal program. When it is over, the expectation is that those interns are going to be done with school and they're going to be employed full time. And again, 16 hours or more, meeting that definition. So the others, they're not necessarily terminal degrees. Well, TRAIN definitely is not. And MAX, sometimes a kid needs more than 1 year to be prepared to move into a catering job or go to a hotel. So those don't have that expectation.
Huh? Let me try this question again. What has been the parents' response to the programs?
I believe that the parents' responses have been amazingly supportive for all of the programs. You know, every student, every intern is not going to be successful on their first go, just like most adults aren't mm-hmm. successful on their first go at trying to be employed. And some students and some interns, they don't make it through their first round of Project Search or TRAIN or MAX or, and so we take them back to the school and start to work on those areas of need that they have to try to get them back to the place of being ready to be employed. And for the most part, I'm trying to think, I'm hesitating because I'm trying to think of the one that didn't, or the one, I can't really think of a negative time that, you know, it was just, we got all negative feedback about one of our 12 plus programs.
Well, obviously there's been some buy-in, especially with like Upper Rock and City of Garland, because you said that with Upper Rock, you know, you've been with them the longest. You know, with that buy-in, what have been some comments or some, you know, from the company, from the employee point of view, bringing in these interns, bringing in these students and working with them in training? I mean, has that had a reverse impact that anybody's talked about with the employees of the companies?
I'm not sure I know what you mean by reverse impact, but let me answer your question this way and then you can come back to me. So when we first started there, I mean, you described it perfectly. It is a major manufacturing facility. And to my knowledge, at that point in time when we first started, I don't think Search had any major manufacturing facilities. We were the first. And so I think on both sides, we were kind of worried. And then mentors, each intern has a mentor. And that's the person that follows them and works with them to teach them the skills that they need. Okay. So every year, I think the mentors are kind of a little, I don't want to say scared. Early that first year, I think they were scared. And it was amazing, within a matter of weeks, they started seeing, hey, these are regular adults. What, why are we concerned? And then, you know, by the end, we have a celebration at the end of the year, celebrating wherever these students are interns, well, then employees, because they're somebody employee, these students at this time. So they're finishing school. They really are moving into adult life. You know, I've always believed, and I've said it, my teachers that I am blessed to work with probably get tired of hearing it. I truly believe that all kids are employable. Not all kids are employable full time, but all kids are employable at some level wherever they are. And so, you know, these guys are going to work. So then that every year, the mentors get up and talk about this intern that they had that they were mentoring. And so they go through three rotations. So they usually only have time, because they go on and on and on, about the one that they had last. But it's amazing how much we have learned together in search at both sites about how well our interns can do and what they can do. And the restriction early on, we were kind of worried about what they would be able to do. And it was self-imposed, you know, just kind of thinking about the kids that we've had. So at Every Rock, they're building drilling equipment, huge drilling equipment, like as big as this building almost. And, you know, we've had interns in the past that have wired the cab for this huge piece of equipment, and the intern did all the wiring for it. You know, I mean, they've just been successful, and it's because their mentors didn't put limitations on them, but had an expectation that they were going to be able to do the job. And they taught them how to do the job, and then they let them do the job, you know, wiring all the wires into the trailer or into the, it's just amazing, you know, that they're continuously growing in that. And I don't know if I answered your question, but if I didn't, please.
No, you really did. I mean, what I was wanting was kind of the feedback on the mentors as they're, you know, teaching the skills and working with the interns. And then the reverse impact, actually, what I heard was simply that they're amazed that the students are able to do what they are able to do. And I think you said it well, and as far as when they have expectations, they set those expectations, they teach the skills for those interns to meet those expectations. And when they do, they're successful. And so, yes, I mean, you definitely did. You provided way more than what I had asked for. But yes, that's exactly what I was looking for. I do have to say, you know, when we were there, just watching the students doing their jobs, watching the students around that equipment, watching the students around the platforms and the towers and, you know, like I said, the engines, and then moving things from one location to the other, because they were also operating the cranes. And, you know, the job coach on site mentioned that they are responsible for moving equipment within the warehouse and making sure that it gets where it needs to get. I'm not sure I would be comfortable doing that. And I'm sure once I learned how, I would be able to. But just watching the kids and watching them interact with the adults, and they are adults. I shouldn't say that they are kids. Watching the interns and watching everyone interact, it was an incredible experience that I definitely was just, I was in awe of the program and everything that we witnessed there that day.
Just kind of following up is that, you know, just the expectation and no one saying what they can't do. I think sometimes in education, we focus so much on what they can't do that we forget to really focus on what they can do and allowing them the opportunity to branch out and to try different things. So, kudos to the employer and the employees for not having that can-do mindset for the interns. Okay, Jen.
I just have questions.
Okay.
So you mentioned that level one, the train program, has a teacher and a job coach that students work with. And I know we did meet the teacher and the job coach that work with them at Project Search. So I'm guessing that the MAX program also is equipped with the teacher and job coach. So all three programs have a teacher and a job coach that work with these students as they're learning these skills. And
multiple job coaches, a couple at MAX, but yes, they all have a teacher and
Okay.
Job coaches that work with the students.
Okay. One of the things, Pam, that wasn't hard.
One of the things I think I heard that I want to ask about, it's kind of a follow-up to that, Dr. Parker, is you mentioned, for example, when you're talking about train and about the transportation, about the different levels, and about, for example, it may be an entry level, someone starting to understand how to use public transportation or how to get from point A to point B. It sounds to me like there might be a lot of different levels of people involved. Talk a little bit about the different levels of, based on where the student is and which program they're in, whether it's train or max or whatever, and how many different levels of paraprofessional, teacher, job coach, et cetera.
If I'm understanding your question, Evan, we have at the school level, we have a vocational adjustment teacher at each of our high schools. We're blessed that we've been able to keep that position. And they are doing a class on vocational skills. And within all of our buildings, we are teaching some skills, employability skills, job skills, with the paras and the teachers that are there. And they're going out on CBVEs and community-based vocational education trips to be able to learn some of those skills and start to learn some transference of those skills into the community. So that's at the high school level. And then at all of our 12 plus program levels, we have teachers that are vocational adjustment teachers, and they're teaching those job skills in those programs along with the job coaches. And they're all going out with the students or the interns and working with them at the internships that they're working in, or at the locations that they are working in, or at the building, you know, for meeting and catering, trying to very specifically target either the catering part or the cooking part in the MAX program, or the wide variety of skills that are available to the kids, the students that are working in train. You know, they're targeting those skills towards students to make sure that they're getting the opportunity to learn a wide variety of skills. So I don't know if that totally answered your question. If not, come back to me again with it and I'll try again. Well,
I think that, you know, what I'm hearing is it takes a village. There's a lot of people. There's paraprofessionals, there's teachers, there's job coaches, there's project search employees, right? There's coordinators and directors at Garland ISD, and all those people are working together to assist in ensuring that those students have the skills necessary to take part in these training opportunities. And as we learned a little bit from talking to Epiroc, that most of those interns get hired. They don't necessarily get hired at Epiroc, but they take the skills that they learned from having that village, right, all on the same path, to then apply for jobs where they're getting hired as desirable applicants because of all of the different levels of people and the skills that they've learned and everything along the way.
Well, and I think that let's not leave out the administration in GISD, the upper level administration, because if they weren't backing this and they weren't supporting it from the very beginning, it would have never flown. You know, so I think it goes not just from the schools and special ed, but through the upper levels of administration as well, because it's their support of all of these programs and our kids that are continuing them and help to begin them, you know?
Right. Really, again, a total community effort, right? Upper administration, the community supports it with all the different employers in the city and the work sites and everybody. So large group effort, a lot of collaboration. A lot of people on board. It takes a village, and this is proof that it can happen. And when it does happen, there's a lot of neat opportunities kids get to take advantage of. And students become interns and they become employable and they become employees and they become productive members, citizens, you know, of society. It's awesome.
I just wanted to back up, circle back to, you had mentioned that most students, most interns work roughly about 16 hours a week, and they are working. Was that for project search only, or do they work 16 hours a week for the train and the MAX program as well?
No. You
did I mix that up?
I didn't explain it well enough. So one of the goals is full-time they call it full-time employment in project search, but okay. Full-time employment is at least 16 hours of work. So it could be 40 hours or it could be 16 hours, but 16 is the minimum amount to meet the requirement for full-time employment.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, that did clarify that part. So the next part to the question is, you also mentioned that they do receive a wage. Is that correct? Do they get paid as an intern, or do they?
No, it's just unpaid internships. They're learning the skills, and then they go into a full-time paid position.
Okay, that was the clarification that I was looking for, just wanting to make sure that was.
You know, there's some legal things that you could get into from TWC about paid internships now that may be available. We could debate that back and forth. But this program is not for paid internships. And that is explained to families and students at the beginning, because we want to make sure that, you know, I wish we had the money to be able to do that, but it's just not feasible at this point. And then we're going to get them a paying job that will put money into their pocket. And, you know, the employee, the group together with the employment specialist that is part of the team, they're going to follow them until they have that success.
Right. Okay. I want to go back to the question on the internship that they do with City of Garland. I'm curious as to know what kinds of activities, what kinds of skills are they learning when they are part of that fire rotation?
Okay. So there's two sides to it. The inside the office piece, in the office section, they're learning scanning documents, making digital files, data entry, those kind of skills in that piece. In the outside the office piece, they are doing things such as taking inventory or stocking or restocking supplies, sanitizing fire equipment, delivering equipment or supplies to all the different parts through the city. Parts, I mean, houses, part of the department. So those are the types of skills that they're learning at that one rotation.
Okay, Pam, I've asked all my questions.
Okay. One thing I just want to comment on, the unpaid internship. You know, one way I kind of look at this is that for 9 months, these young people get the opportunity to learn a skill without, one, having to pay for it. So if you're thinking about, you know, what they're walking out with, I mean, this is resume building. This is, most student who says, okay, I have to work, or I want to work and I want to make the money, and they take a job at a fast food restaurant. Nothing wrong with that. But we know the students that are participating in the project search, those interns will be walking to jobs that are going to be higher wage jobs. And that's a good 9 months investing of saying, I'll take these 9 months to learn. So at the end, I know I will have a better wage and better opportunities for that investment of my time.
Well said, Pam. Yeah. Well said.
Okay.
So I guess my final question, but it's not really, so you have Epiroc, you have the city of Garland. Do you foresee, or have you guys looked at, or is it a possibility of expanding the program and adding other companies? Or right now, the services that these two companies are providing are well within the needs for students. Do you envision it growing? What do you see happening with your 18 plus or 12 plus program in the future?
So I have a dream. Yes. I don't know if that's what you're asking.
Yes.
I'm not sure. Would I like to see us eventually open a third project search site? Absolutely, we could. We want to be good stewards of what we are given. And so, you know, you couldn't do that with just one or two students, you know, so you have to have enough interns, enough students to be able to make that happen in a way in which the district and the parties involved are all taken care of and being prudent of what we've been given.
Okay. If Jen does have any more questions, and Evan, and anyone else on, we would like to thank Dr. Parker for being with us today. I hope you get to feeling better. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And that's a wrap on another enlightening episode of Sped Talk, where every conversation, every story we share is a step closer to a more inclusive and understanding world.
Stay connected with Sped Talk on Facebook, Instagram, X, YouTube, and Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcast episode. Thank you for being part of the Sped Talk family. Stay tuned.